This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our callers. Well, I'm going to ask you not to call in here. We have with us, hopefully on the line, Bob Chapman. We're going to be talking about one of the most exciting, most frightening, most dangerous times of my life. And believe me, I've been around for a long time. But we are entering into a financial contraction that is going to impact upon the lives of everybody out there in the listening audience. But most people are not going to tell you what you're going to hear tonight. I was reading a quotation the other day from Voltaire. And Voltaire said that all paper money eventually, and fiat money eventually, returns to its true value, which is zero. And of course, that quotation that I've so often used, it comes from Daniel Webster, talking about how one of the greatest means by which you can deceive people and the common working man is with the deception of paper money. How Aristotle had said many years ago, he lived about 300 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, 350 years. He said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom and kings. What's going on today has been tried over and over again down through the century and always ended up in collapse. The economy certainly was used in ancient Venice, was used in ancient Florence. It was used by the Templars. What most people do not understand, there's a spiritual component to everything, and there's a spiritual force behind what has happened financially. We have seen one of the greatest episodes of prosperity in the history of the world, and we've witnessed it as the development of China, the development of India, raising of the living standards in many areas of the world, but the small group of people have had their living standards raised. Half the world still lives in abject poverty and about $2 a day. But we don't think of that here when we live in such an affluent and really a wonderful and prosperous society. But we're living, of course, off the backs of those people in third world countries who are being kept impoverished so we can get our the various commodities at very, very low price. And the price of copper, well, I can remember 40 years ago when the price of copper was $3 a pound. Now, admittedly, it got down to $1 a pound, but it's back up to about to almost $3 again. These things go in cycles. But right now, of course, what we're seeing is beginning of the implosion of one of the greatest debt bubbles of all time. And you have to understand that the whole basis of our financial system is known as the fractional reserve system, by which banks create money out of nothing, and then they have the audacity to charge you interest on it. Everything is built upon debt. And suddenly, we're finding that the housing market is beginning to contract. And more people who've been encouraged to take out adjustable rate mortgages just are not going to be able to pay make the payments on their homes, and they're walking away from their homes. It's a few places people are beginning being forced to live in their cars, but I think the number will be increasing rapidly in the coming months and coming years. And with that as a background, Bob Chapman, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, very happy to be back again.
All right, fine. We're going to be here.
Living and breathing.
Beg your pardon?
Living and breathing.
All right, well, we hope you'll be doing that for a long time. Bob, you pick up the story there?
Well, the tail end of it interests me the most because it's the ramifications that we're going to be facing that are going to come as a result of the subprime problem. First you had people who never should have had loans in the first place. Then those people were, for the most part, never told, nor did they understand that after a couple of years they were going to have to reset their loans and they weren't going to be at 3 or 4% anymore. They were going to be much higher. And that the amount of money that they pay on their mortgage would go up maybe double or even triple. Now, these lenders who were inspired by our Federal Reserve and the banking system, they gave loans to anything that could walk and breathe. Didn't have to be literate. All they have to do is make their mark. They told them to lie about their wages. Instead of being $30,000, it was $60,000. And so they could buy the $350,000 home. And, of course, after 2 years, they could not afford those payments. In fact, the only payments probably they could afford would be for a $100,000 to $150,000 home. And there are not very many of those left. Now, what the lenders then did is they had ready buyers for these loans, and those loans were sold to banks and mostly brokerage houses, which repackaged them and syndicated them, and what this called collateralized debt obligations. And they then were sold mostly, about 60%, went to hedge funds. Now, where are we at now? We're at a situation where about 3 million people are going to lose their homes. We're in a recession that's going to get worse, so some of the better borrowers, people with scores of 750 and 850 on the FOIC scale, they're going to lose their homes because the economy isn't very good. And at the same time, the housing market is overloaded with too many new homes, too many existing homes for sale, and prices fall. We predicted every bit of this 3 to 4 years ago. And in the International Forecaster has hammered on it almost every week since. Now,
hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment.
No, let's
hold
that,
Bob. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Bob is basically pointing out that he's been talking about this for a long period of time, that the people who, of course, got into the market when they really couldn't have afforded that $300,000, $400,000 home, because you'd have to be able to make payments of $3,000 to $4,000 a month, and they just weren't making that sort of money. But, you know, if you want something bad enough, you go ahead and buy it, and then you worry about paying for it later. And when you only have to put down maybe nothing down, $1,500 a month, why, you can scrape by. But when that, of course, payment goes to $3,000, you can't make the payment. You forfeit the house. And now what you've done is basically liquidate that amount of liquidity from the whole system. And when one happens to one person, doesn't matter. But when it starts happening to hundreds of thousands of people, and hundreds of thousands of these loans begin to turn bad, then this is going to have frightening implications. You pick the story up, Bob.
Well, that's not the half of it, because the people who are in this dire strait are usually young people or older people. People in their 20s, maybe 30s, and people in their 60s. And many of them were minorities, Hispanics, black people, and poor white people. And we hear politicians in Cleveland, we hear them in Washington, that what is his name from Connecticut?
Dodd.
He's telling us we should subsidize these people. And we should save the lenders. Well, 44 of them are already gone under, subprime lenders. And hundreds are going to go under. You don't hear about all the little mom-and-pop stores that took down the sign and just vanished into the night. And so these people can't be subsidized. The reason why is the payment on the house would have to be on a $100,000 to $150,000 home for the possibility that they could keep their house. And of course, they pay $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. And so it's impossible. If they were to bail out the lenders and the borrowers who were subprime, it would cost maybe $1 to $3 trillion. That's what we're looking at. So let's get at the second half. That's not the worst part. We have the CDOs, collateralized debt obligations, that are sold to the hedge funds. That means that the hedge funds use them as collateral. They put up the package, and let's say the package costs $1 billion. They would borrow an additional $25 billion on that package. It isn't worth the powder to blow it out into next week. So the package really isn't worth $1 billion. It's probably worth about maybe $200 million. And so what's going to happen in the CDO realm with the hedge funds and others who have purchased these securitized packages is that they're going to get called to mark the market on the value of their collateral. And their collateral isn't very good. So they're going to get what essentially is a margin call. And they're going to have to start selling investments. And when they do that, the world stock markets are going to come down.
And if you're really, what you're really describing is this tremendous leverage that the hedge fund funds will have $1 billion, which they say it's worth $1 billion, but it's really not. They use that as collateral to borrow $30 billion. And but the hedge funds can get away with this massive leverage because they have a derivative that's backing them up so that they can't lose, except what happens, of course, if the derivatives can't come up with the money.
Well, the derivatives are a whole different situation. The world economy in 2005 was GDP-wise was $34 trillion. U.S. was $12 trillion of that. Now, the market right now is probably somewhere in the vicinity for derivatives of $500 to $600 trillion. We don't know yet, but we know it's in that vicinity. That is absolutely enormous. Now, what they've done, actually, derivatives are made to order. There are derivatives that are traded, but by and large, they're made to order. And they're written as like a bookmaker would make a bet. There's no collateralization. It's just a bet in a gambling palace, like a large casino. And so when the CDOs start going bad, the derivatives that have been written and sold by the by the hedge funds are going to go south as well. South meaning bad. And so we have a situation where we have the lenders, we have the people who are borrowers, they're both problems, we have the CDOs, and then we have the upstream. The upstream is the people who own good mortgages, who have good credit, who are going to have trouble, not all of them, but some of them, during a decline in the value of homes and the loss of jobs. And there's one more segment to this from the bottom. Now, that segment is junk bonds that have held very, very little premium. And the premiums are now finally starting to widen. It used to be 5 or 6% above AAA paper. Right now they're probably 1.5%. So they've got a long way to come down. And so it's going to affect that market very negatively as well.
Could you explain to our listeners what the junk bond is? Isn't this a bond that really doesn't have much in the way of a claim? In other words, you can't foreclose on a junk bond. You just got to trust that they're going to pay it off. Would that be a fair statement?
Right. It's usually a company that doesn't have AAA or BBB. It's usually BBB minus. That's what that amounts to. And so there are companies that are not bad companies, it's just they don't have good credit ratings. They're going to go too. Now that is all going to spread throughout the entire credit market. So then the question comes up, if that's going to happen, and the carry trade for the yen and the Swiss franc, and I'll explain that, terminates over the next year, that created an enormous amount of liquidity into the world marketplace. What is that? That means a bank in New York would go to a bank in Tokyo and say, we want to borrow $1 billion worth of yen. And they'd say, okay, and they lend it to you at 0.5%. Then you go out and turn it into dollars, and then you go buy U.S. Treasuries paying 4.5%. And after you bought derivatives insurance to protect yourself, you'd probably come out with a yield of something in the order of 3.75% with no risk. Same thing with the Swiss franc. And the key is the low interest rate in that currency, being the yen and the Swiss franc. They have both raised their interest rates, so that makes it more difficult to play that trade and create that liquidity. So we have that drying up at the same time. Now, at the same time, over the last 3 years, the U.S., the European Central Bank, England, Australia, Canada, have been increasing their money supplies at over a 10% rate. And then there's private creation of credit as well. So over the last 2 years minimum, that whole group, including China and Russia as well, have increased liquidity somewhere around 14%. But with all those other things going on and the contraction and the contagion going on, they're going to have to jack that up, or they're going to face deflation, and they don't want to see that. So they're going to have to double what they're doing to stay alive. They know back in 1928, 9, and 30 that they contracted the money supply, and they, in essence, the Federal Reserve, created the depression. So they're not going to do that again. They're going to inflate until they can't inflate anymore. And as far as they're concerned, that it's a simple transaction. So if we have a government-sponsored 20% inflation, and we have the incumbent inflation, which probably will take it to 25%, we're going to have 25% inflation. Now, I would call that hyperinflation. Of course, the government's not going to admit to that. What the government's going to say is, oh, inflation get up to 9%, but we don't think it'll go any higher. And so, with hyperinflation, gold and silver will go through the roof, and eventually people, business in particular, won't continue to borrow money. And when they don't do that, no matter how much money and credit that they create, it won't do any good. And that means there'll be deflation. And when deflation comes, you have a depression. And the only good assets doing during a depression is gold.
And, of course, this is pretty well what has happened time and time again before, except that during the Great Depression in 1929, they limited the money supply initially. And they didn't try to inflate their way out. But, of course, right now they're trying to inflate their way out. And if they increase, you know, the inflation rate up, which reflects, of course, the increase in currency and credit out there, if they go up 25% a year, it means that every year you lose 25% of whatever you spent your whole life working to accumulate, your pension fund, your insurance policies, they all, of course, are wiped out. Well, Bob, go ahead with the story.
Well, I think we've rather covered that evolving situation. It's not what you're going to hear.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
But everything is in place. Certainly we have, you know, according to Bob, and I think he's right, probably close to $600 trillion, between $500 and $600 trillion in derivatives out there. I can remember when there were only $270 trillion in derivatives. The carry trade is beginning to collapse. The hedge funds are overhedged and overborrowed and overleveraged. The housing market is beginning to contract. Certainly, as we look and see what's happening to the industry with globalization, intentionally transferring our jobs away from this country, outsourcing our jobs, outsourcing our manufacturing, In fact, it was about a week ago, Bob was talking about the fact that in Detroit, Michigan, you can buy a house cheaper than you can buy actually a car. And I thought that was a little absurd until I talked to people who live in Detroit, and they say absolutely. In fact, our good friend Constance Gumby lives there. She told me she lives in an upper-class neighborhood. And as she drives down the street, she sees house after house, either boarded up or for sale. And certainly in parts of that community, why, certainly you can buy a home for $29,000, for $20,000. They're auctioning houses off. In fact, supposedly, why, one of the auctioneers shouted at the crowd as they were auctioning houses in Detroit, "The lumber's worth more than you're actually bidding on this house." And, of course, people are not buying homes. And the people who bought expensive homes there, they're losing them. Is that pretty well the way things are going there in Detroit today?
Well, there's swaths of hundreds of houses in certain areas that are totally boarded up. As long as we have free trade and globalization, as long as we have outsourcing and offshoring, those houses will never, ever be inhabited again. And it's not only going on in Michigan and particularly Detroit, but it's going on in northern Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, in the Chicago area, Kansas City, upstate New York, Quebec. I get a letter today, an email from someone in Ontario, which is just across Windsor, is just across, not across, it's through the tunnel from Detroit. And he said, you know, this is our situation with my father, who is a retired GM man, and what do I do? And I told him what to do. And southern Ontario and southern Quebec are going to get decimated as well. All of these jobs are going, and all of this production is going to the third world, so they can employ slave labor. As we know, if we have recession in America, the world will have recession. If we have depression in the world, in America, the world will have it. But they don't care about that. This is all part of a scheme that will bring America, Canada, Western Europe, down to the lowest common denominator so that they can be manipulated. And we just found out that we put about 50 new people in the House and Senate, and they're not doing anything about it. In fact, in February, there was a honeymoon going on, and that honeymoon gave Congress a 37% approval rating, up from 26. Well, guess what? After their performance over the month of March, it's back down to 28%. So we've gotten nowhere so far. And if it doesn't improve, and we can't make headway of changing incumbents in the next presidential election, we can kiss our country goodbye, because that is the last straw. We're going into depression, and you better be prepared, because if you're not, you're going to have some serious problems on the street.
Yeah, because one of the things that really bothered me with the House Appropriations legislation, where they appropriated money to continue the war, but they said, you know, you're going to have to start pulling your troops out by, of course, I guess it's November or something like that of next year. So you've got 18 months now. But, you know, you're going to have to start pulling your troops out. The Senate put in the same thing, but it's a non-binding legislation. It means absolutely nothing. What really bothered me was that there was an amendment there that said the president cannot go to war with Iran. Under any circumstances, he cannot go to war with Iran without the permission of Congress. And I know Bob doesn't think they plan to go to war with Iran, but they took that amendment off. They appropriated the money. They said, in effect, it's all right to go to war with Iran anytime you want to. But, of course, we're not going to let the American people know what's really planned. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. We've got a couple of callers. Bob, do you mind if we pull them up here?
Sure.
Well, let's go to Peter, who's calling from Salinas, California. Peter, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Bob, thank you for an absolutely insightful view into our coming future, no less.
It really was very good, I'll have to admit.
Bob, because
and after all these years.
You know, Bob, because you've been in the market as long as you have, would you also agree that the two biggest forces moving the market are greed and panic?
Well, it's always been that way, but we have a third force now, and it's our government. Our government is our enemy, unfortunately.
I would agree.
They manipulate everything.
The wild card that you haven't played into this is, when this does come, would you anticipate panic in the market?
Oh, yes.
Massive sell-off.
It's going to be dreadful. In fact, if our forces do go into Iran, and Russia certainly thinks that they're going to, the intelligence I've seen over the last 3 days is really overwhelming toward that end. And so if they are correct and they go in there, the fallout will be enormous. The stock market will go down, no matter how much the money they put into it. And gold and silver will go up, and of course they'll try to keep that down as well.
Because I think the price of gasoline will go to $5, $7, $8, $9 a gallon. It's only a matter of time.
Well, Bob, let me also give you another precursor to the bad times approaching, and that's the major investor Warren Buffett was predicting himself a recession/depression, and his admonition to all of us is that you have to have 2 years worth of cash payments in hand. How many of us out there, Bob, have 2 years worth of cash to carry ourselves through any economic woes?
I would say probably 10% of the population.
Jeez.
Everybody else is living from, they probably get 3 weeks leeway and that's it.
Gee, Bob, I'm ahead of that because I got 2 months. That's my guesstimation on how long I could ride out. No paychecks in my life. And Bob, the last thing I'm going to leave you with is a quote from one of the famous authors in the United States, and that is, it's not so much that I miss the good times of passing, it's that I dread the hard times that are coming.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Let's go to David calling Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. David, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I really appreciate both of you and your efforts for the Republic. My question relates to the common law discussion of a Federal Reserve inveigled monetary system. It is a debt at all. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You want to know the common law situation as far as the Federal Reserve system? Is that the question?
The Federal Reserve's inveigled or frauded financial system and the debts created at a national or an international level. Is the sovereign inhabitant free person upon the land?
I think it's sort of like advocating the fact that the Internal Revenue Services Sydney 16th Amendment was not passed. You can argue it all you want to, but in the, from
the
a practical point of view,
the Federal Reserve, notwithstanding, the federal government has imposed a fraudulent monetary system and then abused it to the nth degree.
All right, let's get Bob's
public of any stability of a market.
David, let's get, of course, Bob's response to that. Bob?
Well, I think Stan's right. They can do what they want to do. And, you know, there really are no rules. We say we want you to abide by the Constitution. And just recently we've seen our president in the executive branch of government tell you that so-and-so Constitution should be torn up. It's not worth the paper it's written on. This is the attitude of these people. So law is not going to protect you. The only thing that's going to protect you is what comes out of the barrel of a gun. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it's falling out. And that's why I'm very strong on people being well-armed with food and no debt and if they have more money than that, they can get gold and silver coins, and hopefully they'll survive. Maybe Coeur d'Alene will be one of those places that will survive.
We hope it
will.
Major
cities in America and throughout the world are going to be in serious trouble.
Okay, thanks very much, David. And let's go to Paul, who's calling in from Ohio. And Paul, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Can't hear him.
Paul, you're going to have to speak up.
Can you hear me now?
You're going to have to speak out louder than that.
How about that?
Go ahead, that's fine.
Bob, if they're not going to attack Iran, they must be going to attack us.
Well, they're going to probably attack both of them, Paul. Anything else you'd like to say?
I'd like an answer from Bob on that. When does he think this may happen?
Oh, what are your thoughts on the attack on Iran?
Well, I think probably it's kind of a toss-up. Last time I was on the program, I thought that the Illuminati who are running the show would stop Bush from doing what he wants to do. They may have been unsuccessful. That doesn't mean that Bush is going to survive, because I think that they will arrange to have him liquidated. And they do those things to their own people as well. You do what you're told. Now, with that said, if he were to do whatever he's going to do, after that's over, then it would be occupation, but there would be troops coming back into the United States. And I think at that time, then any move that was going to be made by the Illuminus to institute what you might call martial law, then it would happen, because they would have troops in the country, and those troops would be able to do what government forced them to do. And of course, there's still a question about that. Probably 70 to 80% of those people probably would not follow the dictates of the U.S. government. And the government knows that. And so I would assume that these mercenary forces would be used extensively. If you put all the companies together, you might have 100 to 150,000. You know, we have 150 million adults in America. There's 450 million guns. Let them come at us. We'll show them that we know what they're up to, and we can do as well as they can.
I really think our listeners should realize that there are 100,000 contractors in Iraq today. And I saw an interview just this last week with a congresswoman. I think she was on the House Military Affairs Committee, and she said, "We don't know how many contractors there are in Iraq. We don't know what they're being paid. We can't get any idea how much money the CIA is using to finance them. We don't know how many of them are in combat units. We here in Congress have no idea what these private armies are doing over in Iraq." And I think most people don't even understand that between Blackwater and a couple of the others, there are private armies over there that are engaged in warfare that are not held to any of the terms of the Geneva Convention, are not held responsible for what they're doing. And those same forces were actually patrolling the streets in New Orleans after Katrina. Thanks much for calling, Paul. I share your concern. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I do believe we are headed into terrible financial problems in this country. And I do believe, of course, that we are going to war with Iran, because nothing really makes sense. And any of you would like to see my analysis of why I think that we're going to war, I would be glad to send you a copy of our February newsletter, which is going out right now. And I think it gives you a good overview, because nothing that's going on in the Middle East, or even in the Near East, but nothing really going on in the Near East, in the Middle East, makes any sense unless there is another agenda out there that nobody's talking about. Well, Bob, what does this intelligence, because I know that you have written a number of times that you did not believe we were going to war with Iran. And, you know, as much as I love you and I agree with you on most things, I had to say that I hope and pray Bob is right and that I'm wrong, that we're not going in, but my gut feeling is we are going in. What changed your mind?
Well, I still think that that possibility of not going in exists. You know, the Russians may be overplaying the situation because they don't want us to go in. And for a couple of reasons. Number one, they do a lot of business, and they want to continue to do oil business in Iran. And then besides that, they have a treaty, a 1926 treaty, with Tehran that says that if you're attacked, we're going to come to your aid. Whether they'll live up to that remains to be seen. I've talked to others that say not a chance. But on the other hand, they just might go for it. And if they do, there's going to be serious, serious problems in America. Because we're going to be looking at Russian retaliation, and there's $16 billion worth of investment going into Iran by China. Will they stand idly by? I just don't know.
Well, I think the Russians and the Chinese would love to see us fight to the last American soldier and the last American carrier in the Persian Gulf. So, you know, I think that they would just love to get us into an expensive, destructive war, knowing full well the impact it would have on our economy, and knowing the impact that a gasoline at $6, $8, $10 a gallon would have on the economy of the United States. It would simply rip the heart out of the heart of this country and impoverish our people. I mean, certainly our trucking industry would begin to shut down, our aeronautical industry would begin to shut down, our agricultural industry, which is so energy dependent, would begin to shut down, and of course this would have a profound impact on every aspect of our lives, and I'm sure that the Russians and the Chinese communists would just love to see that happen.
Well, if they do not come into the fray, and if there is a fray, we will go under financially.
Right.
There's absolutely no question. The bill, as I projected it, and that was 4 years ago, would be $1.2 trillion, and we are fast headed toward that number.
You're talking about the expense of the war in Iraq.
Yeah. And what are we going to do? Add another trillion for Iran? I mean, are they going to turn it into a parking lot? Are they going to kill millions and millions of people on the spurious reason that they might have nuclear weapons? Forget it. I mean, these people are animals. They have been doing this for 1,000 years. They have financed every war on both sides over that entire period of time. They are responsible for hundreds of millions of deaths. They don't care.
Well, I agree with you. I believe that they have a different agenda. I think they march to a different drumbeat. They hear the call of a different trumpet, and they dream it.
Yeah, it's called Satan.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really the big problem, Bob, is that most people out there look at things as they appear to be. They look and see, you know, here we've got the United States, we've got Iran, we've got Ahmadinejad, we've got Condoleezza Rice, and they don't understand that they are simply actors on the world stage. Behind that are powerful spiritual forces that are manipulating this whole situation towards, of course, I believe, a great confrontation coming very, very soon in the Middle East is going to have a profound impact on America, and nobody wants to talk about it. Our church leaders don't want to talk about it. In fact, most of them are pushing to get us into this war with Iran. That is what's so frightening. So many of the Christian leaders are telling us we've got to go to war with Iran, which is exactly what, of course, the Satanists want.
And, you know, who is going to protect Israel? Every Muslim in the world is going to be suicidally going after Israelis. And who are going to protect in this fallout from Israeli aggression? Who's going to protect all the innocent Jewish people throughout the world who are going to be murdered? I mean, the ramifications of this are unbelievable.
Well, of course, I believe that Lucifer really wants to destroy the Jews, And I don't know a better way to do it than the current American policy. But people can't understand that because it doesn't make sense. Because they're looking at things through the wrong lens. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Bob, I said, I'd like to just get your thoughts on gold and silver. Because, of course, we could talk theologically, and we're going to be talking about that this coming hour with a fascinating guest, but right now let's talk about gold and silver. They're really not doing much of anything. They seem to be in this pretty static trading range. Gold, 650, 660, silver, 1300, 1325, 1275. What's happening? It looks to me like, reading your newsletter, that the shorts are still there, massively buying shorts, to keep the prices of both gold and silver down artificially. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, it has been, and it's just another paper attack as opposed to a physical gold attack. They can't attack physically because they don't have enough gold left. I know that other pundits are talking about them having perhaps 16,000 tons of gold left out of some 32,000 or whatever. My estimate is that they have about 5,000 left if they've got that. And the battle is going to be won, as Harry Schultz says. It's going to be won in the physical pits. You can't challenge them in the paper market. You've got to take all the gold out of the market. It's a very small gold market. And once you've got it all, they're screwed. There's nowhere for them to go. Now, in the last few weeks, we've gone up $30 an ounce. We've gained back a good part, if not almost all, of what we lost. The aftermarket today was trading at 666.80. And whether it'll stay there remains to be seen. But I think we're on the verge of another big move in gold. We could go up and break that 730 area and go up to 850, and that would end the first phase of the gold bull market that now has taken some 6 years because of the intervention by the Illuminists. Now, we've got two stages beyond that, and the longer it takes and the more that they interfere in the marketplace, the worse it's going to be. So instead of gold going to 4,000, maybe it'll go to 8,000. Who knows? All I know is you're going to be able to retain your wealth by owning gold and silver coins during hyperinflation, and you're going to be able to do that with gold and silver shares as well. And nobody else is going to be able to. And the markets are very small. Less than 1% of the U.S., Canadian, and European populations are involved in that market, and the upside is absolutely tremendous. This is going to be the biggest bull market in the history of mankind.
And of course, most people are going to be left out completely in the cold. They'll have no
idea. They'll lose 60 to 90% of their assets, Stan. Because that's what happened during the last Great Depression. And it's going to happen again. And why? Because it is being created.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that this is all artificially done. It's all mobile. It's all manipulated. Well, let's go to Paula, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Paula. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. Well, thank you for your wonderful program. You're the greatest, and so is Mr. Chapman. And I'd like to know what will be the resolution of the situation with the British sailors.
Okay, that's a
legitimate question. That's hard to say. I think that if they're not returned in the next few days, that would be used as an excuse to go in. And I think it would be a smart thing for Iran to do, to say, well, we've interrogated them, and they were in our territory, but we've decided to turn them back to you because, for all intents and purposes, they're useless.
But I think, Paula, you're really asking the wrong question. The right question would be not what's going to happen to them, but why would Iran apprehend them and hold them and create an international incident? It does not make sense. It was certainly by, like, you running into the locker room with the 49ers and starting shoving these big football players around and telling them you're really going to beat them up. Why? Everybody would laugh at you. And, of course, you would lose if you were to get into an altercation. And that's exactly what Iran is doing. They're doing everything they can to foment a crisis, which doesn't make sense.
No.
What Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad of Iran is doing doesn't make sense. Saying they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, the West is going to disappear, there was no Holocaust, you know, they're going to go ahead and with their enrichment of uranium. If you look at it logically, it doesn't make sense. So there has to be another agenda. That's what the real question is. Not what happens in the short run, but why this is happening. Anyway, thanks so much for calling, and we'll know here in a few days, won't we? God bless.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back here with Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, I got so involved just in our discussion, I forgot to get your telephone number and your website out. So let's get that right now.
Well, the International Forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. The email address is theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to call toll-free, you can get a free copy of the email, a hard copy version. Email comes out twice a week on Wednesday and Saturdays, and it runs about 25 or 30 pages, and then we have a hard copy that comes out twice a month. And that phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and you won't be disappointed.
All right, and you won't be disappointed. I always look forward to reading the International Forecast. All right, read it. As soon as it comes, it's always got information you're not going to get elsewhere. And maybe a few days later, like that story about what's going on in Detroit, and where you can buy a house a lot cheaper than you can buy a new car. Of course, who can afford in Detroit can afford a new car there. In fact, Constance Cumby was telling me that the very day I was talking to her about what was happening in Detroit where she practices law, she said a mortgage lender had been in somebody in the mortgage business who said that 90% of his business was gone, and he didn't know whether he's going to be able to survive. That's what's happening in Detroit, but it's going to start happening in other communities in the very near future. Bob, you got about a minute to wrap up the program.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. Get out of debt. Get rid of that credit card debt. Get rid of revolving debt. Get rid of your car debt. And then pack in some freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Have a good source of water. Maybe a generator. Make sure you're well on with assault weapons. And if you get extra money, you buy gold and silver coins and shares. I don't know where else to send you.
Well, I think that's probably pretty sound advice. And, of course, we can certainly help people as far as if they're interested in knowing where to get long-term storage food or the other things. We're offering it here because we think that people should begin making their preparations and making them right now. And we certainly, I believe, everybody who is cares about themselves and their family is going to begin making preparations for a very serious time, and we're not talking about something in the distant, distant future. We're talking about the fact that the Middle East could go up in flames at any moment. And hang on just a moment, Bob. Well, Bob, before I let you go, I want you to give out your website and your telephone number just one more time.
The website is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International FORECASTER.com. The toll-free number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And we'll send you a complimentary email or hard copy immediately.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, and we're going to look forward to having you back again next month. Thanks so very much.
Thank you very much, Dan, and I always look forward to your program.
Good night. Bye-bye. All right, bye. Well, that was Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, and And his dissertation, if you wanted to get to Chris, what he said during the opening part of the program is we talked about all the various parts of the financial tsunami, the perfect financial storm coming together. You can get a copy of that in CD or audio tape. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we wanted to mention that if you would like more information, additional information on getting the things you're going to need for the difficult times that lie ahead, and you'd like to get some free catalogs, we'd be glad to send you a free catalog on long-term food storage. But don't put off making the arrangements. You need barrels for water. You need the filtration system, the Berkey filtration systems for your water. You need the pumps to be able to get the water out of the barrels. You need the grinders for the wheat. We have a wonderful book called Don't Cut Caught with Your Pantry Down, and another one, Making the Best of Basics. How do you survive if you don't have all the things we're used to? At least give serious consideration to the possibility we're heading to difficult times. We do carry a book called Inside the Red Zone that has a list of everything that you should have in case of a chemical, neurological, I should say biological, or chemical attack, Sydney. And, of course, but think of very seriously about, you know, laying in supplies of food wherever you get them. If you'd like to get a catalog from Radio Liberty, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Remember that book? Making the Best of Basics. It's a wonderful book. And that, of course, I would mention, if you'd like to get my talk on the financial tsunami, and of course, in video, and then, of course, we have a syllabus that goes with it, points out the names of, at least as the first of this year, all the major corporations that have been bought up by foreigners. Over 25% of our major corporations have been purchased. They're in the process now of purchasing the Ohio Turnpike. Certainly, toll roads all across America are being purchased by foreigners. They're buying, certainly, many of our water systems, our electrical systems. They're buying, certainly, many of our toll roads. So, bridges, they're all up for sale. They're selling off the infrastructure of our society because we cannot pay the debts that we've incurred. And America is moving rapidly from a first world nation to a second world nation to a third world nation, and it's all part of a plan. It's called the Earth Charter, and it talks about the new spirituality that's coming and the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. The Earth Charter is written by three people deeply involved in the occult, who are, in my impression, certainly associated with those forces, those spiritual forces from the other dimension. And if you don't know about them, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. So much information there, or my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, and then our latest DVD, which is so vitally important, The Forbidden Secret. It will tell you a secret that has been passed down through the ages, but of course far different than the secret that is being pushed today by Rhonda Burns. There's much truth to what she says, but of course she wants you to access the secret, and we want to warn you away from it like a plague. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, right now we have on the line with us Jackie Alnor. We haven't had her as a guest before, but somebody sent a copy of something she had written, and I was really so taken with it, I asked her to come on to be our guest this evening. Jackie, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, hi. Good to be here.
Well, this is what she wrote. Back in 1985, a book came out that examined the so-called communications coming from the UFOs called In Advance of the Landing. And the authors showed how the Space Brothers seemed to be getting the Earth prepared to be open to receive them, and were waiting until the moment was right before making their grand entrance to the world. As ludicrous as that sounds, there's a parallel with the strategy of the spirit of the Antichrist, who cannot make his debut until the timing is right, when the world has been fully prepared to accept him. And then, of course, Jackie was on to say, what would we expect to see at this time? Well, we'd start with, we'd begin calling good evil and evil good. We'd be getting ungodly leaders into high positions of government and the judiciary. We'd be silencing the voices of reason by labeling them as narrow-minded. And we'd be making the pursuit of money and prosperity the measure of success in the world and in the church. And there'd be increased the availability of pornography and making licentiousness a popular sport, discrediting the truth of the Bible, examining or eliminating national borders and bringing about a global economy, intimidating Christian leaders to just preach the truth but not defend it for fear of offending someone, and getting people interested in a mystical power that can harness for their own quest for divinity of humankind. And that, of course, is a perfect description of the secret that's sweeping the country today, being pushed by Oprah Winfrey and, certainly by Larry King and by Jim Carrey and by Jack Cashel and by all sorts of people who, of course, are dedicated to this Rosicrucian idea that we can manipulate the universe with our minds. Jackie, your article is very disquieting, but it seems almost prophetic in what it says. So you pick the story up.
Well, the story of, as far as the Antichrist plot to rise up and prepare things. Of course, we all know, well, we who study Bible prophecy, we know that before the Antichrist comes on the scene, the false prophet trying to come in the nature of the one who came before Jesus was John the Baptist. So the false prophet would thereby, in imitation of John the Baptist and in imitation of Elijah who is to come, would then, he would be preparing the way before he points to the false Christ. So in that way, he needs to be working before the Antichrist comes on the scene. And we see what the Bible refers to as the spirit of the age at work, and both inside the church and outside the church. I honestly believe that the false prophet will call himself a Christian and will rise up in our midst in the church itself.
You could very well be right, but certainly it's so difficult to make any sense about it, anything going on today. And let's just look at the spiritual implications of what's going on. And people, you know, will look at what's happening in the Middle East, and they'll try to figure it out from a logical point of view. And nothing that is happening is logical. So there must be another explanation. Well, Jackie, go ahead and pick the story up there. And I think you did a beautiful job in your description of what's going on in the world today. And you fully believe, and I believe too, that we are about to see the advent of the Antichrist coming to earth. And it's amazing how often we will see the use of 666, and we'll see this move towards world government. Everything is in place for his coming. It is simply, you know, that the average Christian really doesn't believe that this is taking place. Or if it is, he thinks he's going to be whisked out of here before anything bad happens to him. So he has no responsibility for really doing anything. Just sit back and wait for the, I don't know, the cloud or whatever it's going to be to arrive, and then he's going to be out of here.
Well, you know, there's different views on the timing of the rapture. There's and with me, I try not to get dogmatic on when the rapture will happen, because I don't think the Bible is really dogmatic on that. I know someone had once said that we have to live every day as if it could be our last, and yet make plans for the future at the same time. And so we know personally any one of us could be called away if a truck happens to run a red light right where you happen to be, you know. So we all need to be ready in our own faith and in our own walk, and in walking with the Lord. And, you know, before he left, one thing that Jesus said over and over and over again was for us to be on the alert, to stay sober, and to be ready to be watching for him. And he gave so many parables, you know, of the men that were the servants that were beating up the other servants and everything, and that they weren't watchful and ready. Well, I believe that we need to be watching for these things, and you know, that's why I call my webpage the Apostasy Alert. It's not just the apostasy that I'm looking for, but I honestly believe that the apostasy of the church is, I call it in a video that I produced called The Great Apostasy, The Lost Sign. It's a lost sign because it's a sign that many Christians don't want to acknowledge that is one of the greatest signs of the nearness of the coming of the Lord, that there would be a great apostasy, and that people who once claimed to believe in Jesus as the only way will begin to say, oh no, well, all ways are equal. And that kind of liberal bent and everything is taking on popularity in what's now called the emerging church. And
hold that thought for just a moment.
Oh, sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jackie Alnor, and she has a web page. It's a fascinating web page with a lot of great information on it. We'll tell you in a few minutes how to get to her web page. And of course, the underlying theme is, we got a problem with the Christian church today. The leaders of the Christian faith are not speaking out against torture. When was the last time you heard any Christian leader in America speaking out against the torture and the mistreatment of people that we've simply picked up or rounded up or kidnapped and sent to other countries to be tortured or tortured ourselves? And of course, the president says we do not accept torture. And yet, of course, all we have to do is look at a picture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the one they use over and over in the papers. And this forlorn individual has obviously been tortured. And they say, we do not believe in torture, but look, are you going to believe your lying eyes? Are you going to believe what the administration says? But where is the outcry from the Christian church? Where is the warning from the Christian church about the growing acceptance of mysticism, not only with the general community, but within the church itself? And before we came right back, you were talking about the sort of almost mysticism that's growing within the Christian church, both the Catholic and the Protestant. Would you like to develop that idea?
Well, certainly there is a revival in mysticism, and a lot of that is through what is called the contemplative movement. And I've written on my webpage, you can read a large article I wrote about, I wrote called Thomas Merton, The Dark Thread, which it seems like anyone you listen to in the emerging church or in, you know, even some, unfortunately, evangelicals who are now pushing people into meditation as in mind-emptying sort of you know, receiving anything that the spirit realm can throw at you as you, you know, take down your defenses to your mind. As these things are happening, a lot of them who write these books, especially the Catholics and people who are now reading about these, reading these Catholic mystics. Thomas Merton was a major one, and I researched him, and he got all of his mysticism from Zen Buddhism and the Eastern religions. In fact, he died in the middle of seeking them. When he went to go visit with the Dalai Lama, actually, he died. He was electrocuted in the shower. He was actually the same age as me. He wasn't all that old. But he has written so many things. The Seven Story Mountain is one of his big books. And everybody seems to want to point back to him. People like Brennan Manning, who has written the Ragamuffin Gospel. Thomas Merton is another one he points to as his inspiration. They all tend to point to him as their inspiration, from Richard Foster, who wrote The Celebration of Discipline. There's a whole slew of books that have been written in trying to tell people of how to get in touch with the divine through the emptying of the mind. But you know, it's been it's been kind of on the fringe of Christianity, and now all of a sudden, even the mainstream people are acceptance of this. And that's where it becomes shocking. But see, that's part of the apostasy setting in.
In fact, our friend Carol Matriciano, who does excellent videos, her latest one was on Christian yoga. And apparently many Christian churches, are, at least some of them, are taking their people, of course, you know, they want the church to be sort of the center of the community, so they're teaching yoga there. Well, of course, yoga is an Eastern mystical practice, and it's sort of the emptying of the mind, certain emotions, breathing patterns, all, of course, they're really, of course, opening yourself up to demonic possession. But it's being sold under the name of Christian yoga. And, of course, this is an excellent video. We certainly recommend that that people access some of the material we have on our web, our catalog, but certainly I want you to get the things Jackie has as well, because he's thought these things through. Mysticism is sweeping through large segments of the Christian church. People want to experience God. They don't want to read the scriptures. They don't want to study the scriptures. That's sort of old-fashioned. How do we experience God? Well, of course, the way that they're getting us to do it certainly is to lead us away from the truth of the Gospels into looking beyond the Gospel, the written Word of God, for something even more personal and sort of more revealing. And by so doing, I fear that many of these people are opening them up to, frankly, demonic possession. And, you know, the Lord was asked, you know, how will we know when you're going to come? And, of course, he said no one was going to know. But as it was in the days of Noah, and, of course, well, what happened in the days of Noah? The world was so corrupt, so vile, so everything was so rotten to the core, that the Lord decided that the only solution was to kill everything on earth. That's what he had to do, and start in literally all over again. And as I look and see what's happening here in America, as I look and find the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, they say that sometimes 30 million, sometimes 60 million Americans are represented by this organization. It was a homosexual and a cocaine addict, and it wasn't simply he had a problem. He was using his position to undermine Christianity. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Why, they were all rallying behind him and saying, oh, poor guy, you know, and after 3 months of treatment, he's no longer homosexual. I mean, certainly, you know, we got a real problem with the moral breakdown in our society, and nobody ever wants to talk about sin anymore, Jackie. It's almost like sin doesn't exist.
Well, you know, this is a very sad thing, because of the amount of people who have come into the church, not through repentance, but they've come into the church by, well, you've tried this and you tried that, now why don't you just try Jesus? They're coming in not through the door, but in some other way. They're kind of trying to come in through the window, as Jesus says, and you can only come through the door, and that is through repentance. And what they're wanting is they don't want to do what Jesus said. Jesus said that we have to lose our life in order to find it. And to lose our life means that we, when we come to Jesus through repentance of our sins, we say to the Lord, whatever you don't like, I'll go your way. I will not go my way anymore. And I'll throw it all away and build it back up according to your word. And people who come in to the church and they're homosexuals, they'll say, well, you know, God accepts me as I am, and so I'll just be a homosexual Christian. I mean, there's a group called Evangelicals Concerned, which is Ralph Blair's, it's a homosexual organization that takes all of the scriptures that that show that the abomination of the homosexual act as is spelled out in Romans 1, and they redefine all of those scriptures. And so and then you have people like Tony Campolo's wife, Peggy Campolo, who is a keynote speaker at these conferences that Ralph Blair puts on, in which she is trying to promote homosexual marriage in the church. Well, you know, it's sad because we have so many professing Christians, people who say they're Christians, but they've come in some other way, and we're told at our churches, oh, bring the unbelievers in, and then they find ways to make church interesting to them, where they get rid of the stumbling block of the cross, and they give them entertainment, and they tack Jesus' name onto everything else to keep the people comfortable. And we know, you know, a lot of that started way back when with Robert Schuller, when he went door to door to ask the people, well, what would you like in a church? And so that's where the church is becoming, and during this purpose-driven time, and at least that's, you know, the Rick Warren popularity of just making church a place where goats are comfortable and sheep are starved.
I think that's really very well said. The sheep are starved, and of course the message of the gospel is that we're all sinners, we're saved by grace, but of course we are sinners and we need a Savior. But if you don't believe in sin, you don't believe that there's eternal punishment for sin, then we really don't need a Savior. We need a buddy, and that's what Jesus has become. He's become our friend, he's become our buddy, and you know, we can just have a wonderful, wonderful time with him. But he is not judgmental, because after all, we've been saved by grace. And certainly what they're doing is just mixing up all of the doctrine to make us feel good about ourselves, but there's no longer this realization that we must fear God, we must obey God and keep his commandments, we must love God and keep his commandments. But God is certainly not only a God of love, he's also a God of vengeance and his punishment. And people say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. And then they, of course, will give you that Chronicles 7:14. You know, if people simply humble themselves and pray, and why, of course, God will then hear their prayer and forgive their sin. But people have forgotten that, you know, if people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I don't see anybody turning from their wicked ways, do you?
Well, no, that's really not popular right now. But you see, these things and these trends in seeing things this way that, we all sinned. Jesus, remember, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He'll say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So apparently, you know, there's the workers of iniquity, there's the judgment that we know is going to come on the workers of iniquity, and everybody joining in with the spirit of the age in calling good evil and evil good, which is happening right now. The church is going in that same direction. And as you were saying about Noah and the flood, had because at that time all the earth was corrupt, and so the judgment had to be global. At Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment was localized because the evil was localized.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I guess it's Jackie Aldor. That was a very good point. Certainly, At the time of the flood of Noah, why the whole earth was corrupt. At the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment was localized on Sodom because, of course, the corruption was localized. There were good people in the world, but of course, as we look around, of course, there are a lot of good people in the world today. It is simply in this nation that I love, so many good people have come to accept the abnormal as perfectly normal. We've been conditioned by television to believe, of course, immoral relationships are perfectly acceptable, and certainly the entire message of television and the motion pictures is there are no moral standards, there is no right and wrong. You make it up as you go along, and anything goes. And I think that we're doing a terrible disservice to our young people, because so many of them have no concept of what's right and what's wrong, and no fear of the Lord.
Yes, and the saddest thing is raising children at a time like this is the most difficult thing there is for parents. And the scary thing is, so many parents will just, you know, who Christian parents who sincerely want to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they'll take their children to the youth groups, and they'll, you know, take them to the concerts and all of these things that are Christian concerts, and, you know, and there's things like, oh, Cornerstone Festival that is trying to bring the world's music with Christ tacked onto it and give it to the Christian children. They are bringing all kinds of corrupt things, and even the speakers that they choose to have are the ones who are promoting the contemplative and who are, you know, turning the children into mysticism, and yet trying to appeal to them through really, you know, wild rock and roll music with the young people with their tattoos and their piercings and all of that the world has, and you know, and they have the same tattoos, only they put, you know, a cross in the middle of some dragon or something like that in order to be cool. And so our young people are being swallowed up. I mean, it is absolutely horrible. But, you know, we can't trust, it seems, anymore, the little youth group at the local church to entrust them to teach our children. We have to be the ones to teach our own children because of these days being so evil and because of the apostasy in the church. We can't relegate that to somebody else, even to the church anymore, sadly.
And I think that really is so sad. I mean, at one time, you could trust your minister. He was in the church because he really was trying to do the work of God. And I think that most of our ministers really do, you know, want to do what's good. But they've been to seminaries where they've been indoctrinated in all sorts of psychology. And, of course, you know, the important thing is to teach people in the church how to get along with their spouses, how to get along with their husbands. Husbands, how to get along with their wives, how to have a satisfactory intimacy between you. And, of course, you know, how to get ahead in the world and how to get along with your boss. But, of course, the simple message of the gospel is fear God and obey His commandments. Love God and obey His commandments. God and keep His commandments. But we never stress that anymore because we've changed the very nature of God.
No, you know, the Bible.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jackie Alnor, and we're simply talking about what's happening in the world today, how the world has changed. Of course, it's Jackie's contention, and certainly in this wonderful article she's written, which got my attention, Apostasy Alert, Antichrist Strategy Exposed. And before we go on, Jackie, I'm going to ask you to get out your website, where people will know how to get your information. And I'm going to open up our telephone lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead.
Okay, did you want to know the URL for my webpage, you mean?
I want that, and I want you to tell us about your video and what you would like people to know about your ministry.
Well, my webpage is apostasyalert.org, and it's Apostasy has a couple spellings. Mine's with the S-Y. It's A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y, alert, you know, with no spaces in between, .org. And, well, I've been in, discernment ministry for more than 25 years with my husband. My husband and I have a publication, well, now it's pretty much an online publication, that has, in recent years we haven't been keeping up with that, so I started the page while my husband was working on his PhD and everything. He's a professor, actually, at a secular state university, but, you know, he's also... he also is an author, and so I've helped him write several of his books, and they're available on our other website. He used to be the news editor of the Christian Research Journal back when Walter Martin was alive, and I was one of those that, as a new Christian, I sat under the teaching of Walter Martin, who wrote The Kingdom of the Cult, and I think really early on I started seeing all the confusion on television. When I was a new believer, I just wanted to hear about Jesus all the time. And so I would just start watching Christian television and, I just couldn't hear enough about Jesus. And so I'd turn on Christian radio, Christian television. And one day, and I had only been a couple years in the Lord and didn't know the Bible very well, and I just got so confused because I said, everything sounds right. They're all quoting the scriptures, but why do they contradict each other? How am I supposed to figure out who's telling the truth and who isn't when they all sound good and yet they, you know, I remember having this horrible night of trying to sort it all out. And I just knew I couldn't. I thought, what's the use, Lord? And I remember crying out to God all night, and I opened up the Bible when I was done with my complaint to the Lord, and I opened up to the scripture that says, you have no need that any teach you, but my Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so I just decided right then and there I would just shut off my television, shut off the radio, and just get myself grounded in God's Word and just read it until I knew that I knew what I believed, and then I would be able to test what the others were saying when I knew what the Bible said. And so from then on I just automatically tried to help others to do the same thing, you know, because, and even today, and this is 20-some years later, it's very hard for a new believer coming to the Lord to try to sort out all of the conflicting voices that they're hearing. And so I've been involved in research all these years because those things motivated me. I knew that if it was that hard for me to sort things out, you know, the younger people in the faith are having the same problems, and so... You know, my husband and I have written articles and kept up with exposing error and trying to shine the light on the truth of God's Word and to use it to confront error all these 20 years that we've been married. And Apostasy Alert and the Great Apostasy Tape is some of the fruit that's come out of that need in me to try to help others who are in Christianity in the same era that I'm in, who need help because the conflicting voices, like I said, stumble many young people. And I think, you know, Jesus says better than a millstone be put around their necks and be cast into the sea than to stumble one of these little ones. And so many of these false teachers on television are stumbling young people who aren't yet grounded in the Word and don't know how to test these things. And so they're at a disadvantage as a new believer, especially.
And I really think that some of the things we see on so-called Christian television, some of it is very good, but some of it is really, I think, leading people away from the truth. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Jackie Elnor. We have Bart calling us from Carmel. We'll be talking to Bart during the break here. And then when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But as I look at Jackie's website, I see there's a tremendous amount there that really is so very accurate and very, very refreshing, really. In an equivocal world, simply standing on the Word of Scripture, on the Word of God. Well, this is Dr. Stan Baker at Radio Liberty, and we've got Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. You have a question for Jackie.
I had a comment that is very pertinent to the discussion you're having tonight, if I may. Jackie, thank you. Earlier, I happened to hear a part of an interview with the grandson of Dmitri Dudeman, who's a great prophet and Christian preacher and teacher from Romania, who came out of Romania during the from the communist era to America to preach, and he was offering some very interesting comments about how life was for the Christians under the communist tyranny in Romania, and how dangerous it was for them to hold services in their basements, and how strong their faith was, and how dedicated these people were, and how joyful they were in their celebration of the Lord and Christianity. And now jump ahead to modern America, and I understand that I believe that the last two generations of life here in this country have been so effortless and so safe and so abundant with material pleasures that it has been used as a type of morphine by the beast system, which we're living under now, in order to put people to sleep and dull your natural consciousness and yearning that occurs for God when you're living under hardships. So, and just to conclude my comment, I would say that the bright side of the economic disaster that Stan was talking about in an earlier interview, the upside of that is that when hard times once again return to this country, as they will, and Christians are faced with tyranny again and the nightmare of living in a dictatorial system, the upside of that is that I believe that will naturally bring people back to the pure teaching and the true understanding, biblical understanding of God's reality and the reality of the Word. And I believe that will be the upside of it. The grandson was mentioning that it was, these people were so dedicated that it was like God almost requires a degree of hardship for us to grow closer to Him.
Well, let's get Jackie's thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts at all on what Bart was saying?
Yeah, very much, because I think that because Christianity, we have freedom here to worship, to gather together and to worship, and in a place, in a time, as you were mentioning, where if you got caught doing that, it could mean your life. You won't have very many false brethren among you, because
hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Bart, called in from Carmel, was commenting really what life was like behind the Iron Curtain, before the Iron Curtain came down. And for the Christian, even though he was persecuted, he was happy. Christianity had real meaning there. But here in America, with the affluent society, why, Christianity is just so easy and pleasant, why, we don't really value it anymore. And we seem to have lost the joy of Christianity. And Sydney, Jackie was beginning to pick up on that idea. Jackie, please develop the idea.
Well, I know in the last days, the love of many would grow cold. Is a prophecy that the Bible says that the love of many would grow cold. And I think that in this me, you're talking about the last two generations, which is the me first sort of generation, that's what it leads to. It leads to everybody for himself. And you have, you know, some preachers, the prosperity preachers, and those who are saying, oh, you know, if you come to God, you can, you know, have all this health and wealth and everything. And people start, you know, start pursuing money and pursuing their own success and all of those things. And it brings in a lot of people who really, as we just said earlier, did not come in repentance of their sins, but they say that, oh, well, you know, maybe Jesus can give me a better life, and, you know, tack him on to the next 12-step program. But persecution is coming, and we're already beginning to see it happening as people who are standing up for truth are being told that they can't say those things, you know, that it's hate speech to call sin sin. And when persecution really comes down in this country, which I believe it will, then the professing Christians who aren't really true Christians, they will begin to, you know, they'll be ashamed of Jesus. They won't be talking about him anymore. They'll find, you know, some other thing. They won't stand for the Bible. They'll just say, you know, it's maybe some good stories or something. They'll go with the crowd. And then the true Christians will then really stand out. And it will be harder to be a pretend Christian when persecution would be the results of it.
I will separate the sheep from the goats. Anything else you want to say, Bart, before we let you go?
In closing, it does seem that the lessons of history do seem to show that the strongest, most faithful, most dedicated Christians have always come out of times when life was difficult and dangerous. And I think it's possible that we may see that again, because when everything else is stripped away, what's left?
Well, I don't think it's possible. I think it's absolute.
Absolute, yes. Thank you, Dr. Stanek. Good night.
Good night. God bless. And that's it. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Jackie Al Norrell. You were going to tell us about your website and about this video you put together. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. Again, the webpage is www.apostasyalert.org, and apostasy is spelled A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y. And the video that I made back in 1999, I made it during kind of the height of the Toronto blessing time, because that was bringing in a lot of confusion, and a lot of the same people who brought the Toronto manifestations and the strange the strange fire that was going on back then, they're still promising some new thing that's going to come up around the corner coming up. But I really wanted to help people to sort truth from error. In the Apostasy Alert, I showed clips from a collection I've been collecting, Christian television tapes. I've been taping things off of things like TBN and other places for over 20 years, as I said before, and I wanted to share some of my collection. In fact, a lot of other videos out there have used the clips that I have gathered, and I share them for others too, because the more that people can use those to expose error, the better, because these are such perilous times that we live in. And so the tape does show that the apostasy, it has to come before Jesus comes back, and I show Christians how to spot errors, that they're hearing, and how to test all things and to hold fast that which is good, because these things are only going to get worse. And I know a friend of mine often says that if you can't see through Kenny and Benny, you'll never see through the false prophets, because it's going to be through lying signs and wonders that the Antichrist comes into power. And so we need to be discerning. And I hope that the video would help people to learn how to discern. And so I make that available on my webpage, and on both of them. Like I said, my other website that I have with my husband is called cultlink.com. That's cultlink.com. And that's probably 20 years worth of our articles on that site. And and my husband's books are available there as well. He's written a couple of books on the UFO phenomenon. He's written UFOs in the New Age and UFO cults in the New Millennium. And so he has studied that phenomenon, and that's another thing that area, as I know you mentioned earlier, that the Antichrist and the false prophet can use to their own ends. And, we can't say that for sure, but the messages that are coming from these so-called space brothers certainly fit in with the one-world model religion.
Well, now, of course, does your husband believe in that the UFOs are real? Does he believe that they came from outer space? Does he believe that they're demonic manifestations of the other dimension?
Well, he does expose them as demonic manifestations, and he can do that by showing the messages that they reportedly are bringing in, and the first thing they attack is Jesus Christ, you know, and try to say he is just one of the space brothers and, you know, an ascended master and all that sort of thing. So he shows how the whole UFO phenomenon evolved from the time when people thought that they were just little flying saucers, but how they would even change shape and sizes and get more modern as the modern age progresses, and how they seem to be, even modern ufologists are now more likely to believe that they're not from outer space, but they're from another dimension. And so he documents those findings from those who are you know, have studied it. And as far as his book on the new cults, the UFO cults, he's showing how all of this is fitting into all the new religions springing up, and you know, it's that sort of thing. He's also written a book called Heaven Can't Wait, which is showing has compared a lot of these reports of near-death experiences where people, you know, there's very few that report going to hell in the near-death experiences. Most of them claim to come back, and, you know, even though they don't know Jesus, they still see the same beautiful, you know, tunnel of light and all of that. So he studied that. And his first book was called Soothsayers of the Second Advent. I helped him with that book quite a bit in our research and showing how people have gone, Christians, well-meaning Christians, have gone too far in looking at the end times in a way that they have made fools of themselves, such as Edgar Wisenet, who wrote 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Going to Return in 88 and all of that. And just the show of how we need to be more careful in our pronouncements about date setting or naming the Antichrist or any of those sort of things.
It's fun to speculate, but in the final analysis, we better not put our neck out too far, because there's always somebody there with a big sword. And we will not know until it actually happens.
Right.
But that's really what makes it sort of exciting. We live in, I believe, the most dangerous, the most frightening, but certainly the most exciting times that Christians have ever lived in. I really believe that.
Oh, I do too.
And certainly I really appreciate the material that you have, that you put out there. And of course, one of the things that really concerns me today is this concept that's being put forward by Rhonda Burns on The Secret. Have you run into that at all?
Oh, The Secret. You know, I listened to a program on that, but I haven't looked into it myself, so it really would be hard unless I have seen the actual primary documentation to comment on it.
Well, you can actually go to here in our area, where you can buy the DVD and the book at Costco, which of course is one of the largest stores in our community, where we get them at special low prices and be introduced to that secret. So I do hope that maybe you'll be looking into it and give me a call after you've analyzed it. I'd love to get your thought on this, because I really feel that this is a movement that is sweeping America for a very special purpose at this very special time in history, and even many of the Christians are getting misled by this one.
Wow.
Well, anyway, of course, you know, the whole idea is that everything seems to be in place for the Antichrist to come, and your list of the various things that are going on in the world, I mean, certainly this idea of calling good evil and evil good, the inability of people to speak out on what's going on, the fear of our ministers to offend. I think that the minister has to be offensive if he's going to be honoring God's word, because, of course, the gospel is never popular, but it has to be preached by people who are willing to take a stand. And I believe one reason we're having as much trouble as we're having today is because the church is not taking the position of leadership it should. And reading your webpage, I saw the thing that's part of the message you're trying to get out. Am I correct or wrong?
Oh, no, you are correct. As a matter of fact, I was just reading a short little blurb that was written by Walter Martin on this subject. And I love what he wrote just in this one couple of sentences. he says, oh, we have people today who say Christians aren't supposed to argue. We're supposed to love. Gush, gush, gush. Let me ask you something. Do you think that argument for truth excludes love? Love became flesh in Jesus Christ, and when love ran into the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the scribes, love argued with them. And I just love that quote because, you know, if we don't correct somebody when they make a blatant statement that we know is sending them off into the wrong direction, and we don't say anything and we don't warn them, then we can't really say we love them, you know, because love, you can't have love without truth. And to let somebody just leave them alone in their deception just because you don't want to stir anything up, that isn't love. You know, if you go and just say, oh, Jesus loves you, and, you know, go on and head off in the wrong direction, you don't really love them. That's why I love Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. It's still so true to this day. And I have a link to the audio version of the Pilgrim's Progress. It's on my links page, on my web page, because I just love that book. I just think it's so timely, even for today, into showing all the different pitfalls and traps that can ensnare Christians along the way. And unfortunately, there is a trap and a snare for everybody today. And that's why, as you know, when I see those snares and those traps, I want to point them out to my fellow Christians so they don't get ensnared by them.
Well, I think one of the most important things is for the Christian to understand that the entire media in America, in the United States, is controlled by the other side. Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, the New York Times, the Washington Post, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Wall Street Journal, the Reader's Digest, National Review, the left, the right, it's all controlled by people who have a different agenda. Fox News is not conservative, despite everything we're told. People have to understand this is the reason they are all ridiculing Christianity. And understand there is a conspiracy against God. Do you believe there's a conspiracy against God today?
You know, there is a demonic conspiracy against God, and the spirit of the age works in all areas, in all realms. And, you know, as far as there being a conspiracy, like a bunch of men sitting behind smoke-filled rooms trying to pull the strings, there's some of that. Yet they're empowered by Satan, and I think that that the spirit of the age is drawing it all together from, you know, inspiring the people. You know, those who don't know Jesus, they are of their father the devil. And, you know, that doesn't sound nice, but it's biblical. If you're, I love Bob Dylan sang years ago, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And so people unknowingly are serving the devil when they think they're serving God in so many ways. I wrote an article that's also on my webpage called Entertaining Devils Unawares. And in that article, I showed the errors of Catholicism and the Roman Catholic Church, and they may really mean well in pointing people to apparitions and to worshiping this in Mary and the saints and all of the different, and they think they're serving God, but they're not. And, you know, I think that so many of them mean well, and so, you know, it's hard to sort out who is just deceived and deceiving others or who is knowingly being con men. I mentioned in the recent article about two that obvious con men like Robert Tilton and Peter Popoff, who are out there finding every little gimmick and way to get money out of people. You know, they aren't just deceived and deceiving others. They are con men who knowingly deceive. And so, you know, we have to discern those things in order to protect ourselves and in order not to get sidetracked in our walk with Christ.
And I think you're absolutely right. This is a spiritual conspiracy against God. It's a demonic conspiracy against God, and I think you're right. I think there's some people out there who are con men. I think there's some people out there who don't even realize they're part of a conspiracy. They just don't believe in God. They want to belittle him. And then I believe there's some people who know exactly what they're doing, and they know who they serve. And it's certainly not the God of the heavens. Well, you know, we live in such exciting times. We can't necessarily know what a person's motivation is. But if we know that they're wrong, we have an obligation to speak out. And when you speak out, you're going to get attacked because, of course, the old adage, if you don't like the message, you attack the messenger. And none of us like to be demeaned or insulted or criticized or efforts made to certainly make us look foolish. But, you know, we have to learn how to discuss these things without getting irritated, without getting angry. Our guest has been Jackie Alnor, A-L-N-O-R. You'll enjoy her material. It's on her website. I recommend it to you, and we'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program. Well, Jackie, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, 3 minutes, okay. Well, I think that we covered a lot of bases tonight.
We sure did, and it's been a real pleasure having you with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here, and I think, you know, apologetics can sometimes be an ugly word because a lot of people who call themselves apologists, some of them just want to argue or love to get into debate just for the sport of debate. And I'm not like that. I see the work that I do with the Apostasy Alert and with collecting the videos and keeping up with what's going on with the trends in the church and everything. I try to do that as a servant to my fellow Christians because of what I went through as a new believer in trying to get it all sorted out because it was so hard and I just wanted the truth. And, you know, deception is abounding and it's only going to get worse. We know that, what Paul the Apostle, when he was leaving Ephesus, he said that I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And if that happened back then how far has things devolved since the first century? It's scary, you know. Christians have to be so well versed with the Bible that they will know a counterfeit when it pops up. And, the devil and the spirit of the age works in all realms. You have the draw to try to, one thing that we actually didn't even mention was really the political, politics, where people think, well, if Christians get behind this candidate, everything will be fine, and we'll take, America back for Christ. Well, America isn't going to come back to Christ. As a matter of fact, prophetically, it's going to be getting worse, and we're going to be coming under persecution as the spirit of the age takes hold, and as he has been. So a lot of people are really fooling themselves if they think that we can create some sort of theocracy and make everybody pretend and act like Christians and be law-abiding citizens because, we're going to impose the Bible on them. Well, that didn't work for the popes in the Inquisitions and it's not going to work today.
All right, we're just about out of time. Jackie, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. I hope we can get you on some of our other programs.
Sure, it's been great. Thank you.
And I hope you look into that secret and love to get your thought on it. Good night.
I'll do that. Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our program this evening with Jackie Alnor, but I think her remarks are really so apropos. Because, of course, she's pointing out that the Antichrist is waiting to come. And, of course, he's doing everything he can. He and his demonic followers are doing everything they can to undermine the fabric of our society. They're calling good evil and evil good. They're getting ungodly leaders into high position. They're silencing the voices of reason by labeling them narrow-minded and ending all opposition and making the pursuit of money and prosperity the measure of success, and increasing the availability of pornography and licentiousness, making it popular, and, of course, discrediting the truth of the Bible, eliminating national borders, building a global economy, preparing for a world government that will be ruled by the Antichrist. These things are happening. It is all part of a master plan. And now we're facing the very real possibility of a war with Iran. And, of course, should that come about, why, of course, it could have disastrous effects, not only on the people of the Middle East, but, of course, bring terrible retribution on us here. Because men and women become accomplices of the evils they do not oppose. And if you're not doing everything you can to help us spread the word and understanding what's going on and the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're involved, then you become part of the problem as well. There is no neutral ground in this battle we're engaged in today. So then, Chris, let me suggest we have a great new video. It's called A Forbidden Secret. It's a talk I gave in January before I'd ever heard of Rhonda Burns and The Secret, which is sweeping the country. But, of course, we answer all the questions, except at one point during the question and answer period, which we left in, somebody asked me, are you talking about the Secret, or are you talking about Rhonda Burns and the Law of Attraction? And I look sort of mystified, and I say, I really don't know what that's all about. Well, of course, what I didn't realize is I'd already answered in the course of the discussion that question, even though I'd never heard of Rhonda. So you'll find the Forbidden Secret will give you the background of the secret that Rhonda Burns talks about, a secret that has been known going back over 5,000 years. It was the secret that allowed them to build the Great Pyramids and the Seven Wonders of the World. That has led, of course, to a war after war, of course, was actually utilized in part to create Western civilization and this true battle that exists today between the forces of light, the forces of darkness, between God and Satan, that eternal war that is being fought out to this very day. We also, of course, have, in addition to the Forbidden Secret, we have the new DVD put up by Chris Pinto, Riddles in Stone. We have Chris's original video, a DVD, I should say, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And then to understand really so well what's really going on, why so many of our politicians are doing things that are totally irrational, a DVD about music. It's available both DVD and in video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Because the same thing has happened in politics, it's happened in music and the music industry. There's a 3-hour, a 4-hour, a 10-hour version. If you'd like to know more about these items, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get the information so you can disseminate it to others. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to certainly donate to Radio Liberty and help us with our ministry as we reach out across America, trying to reach people. Why, we'd love to hear from you. Please pray for America. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.